The word of God is alive and active. The word says it's sharper than any double-edged sword. That means that no matter which direction that it's moving, it can cut either way. Father, this morning, we open that word, and God, we are prepared for it to cut away the things that we don't need and the things that are in our way from serving you and following you. And God, once again, we are ready to hear it and respond to it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Over these last several weeks, how many of you in the last month or so have attended a graduation of some sort? How many of you? Not as many as I thought. So kids are graduating. Little kids are graduating from kindergarten. I got to see some of our own kids graduating from kindergarten. I saw pictures. Aren't they cute in a little cap and gown in there? I'd never forget when my daughter, Caitlin, graduated. She's now 28. When she graduated from kindergarten, I remember them singing that song by Lee Greenwood about America, you know. Huh? Proud to be an American. And I was crying like a baby, you know. Just, I love watching that. And then I remember I got to do the eighth grade graduation commencement speech to my own kids when they graduated from the eighth grade a couple of years ago. And that was just powerful. I loved being able to do that. I went to a graduation this past Friday night, watched some young folks from church graduate from Northlake Christian High School, and that was just fun to watch, and because I knew a lot of them and had been a part of some of their lives and got to see that. I'm just so proud of the accomplishments already and the next chapter or the next step in their lives. My nephew, who's now 21 years old, graduated from college yesterday, man, just what a great accomplishment. So wherever you're at in the spectrum, whether you're a baby or an eighth grader or a high school or a college, is that, you know, we're all always graduating and moving to the next level. But you know that in Christ, what happens so often is we come to Christ and we're disciples, we're followers of Jesus, and we're being taught and we're growing up and we're learning. But you know, there's always the next step. There's always graduation day. And I believe that today is graduation day for some Christians who are in here this morning. I think it's funny that we, although we realize and we know that we were designed to change, we're designed to grow, we're designed to go to the next step, we resist it. Some of us who don't like, how many of you hate change? Just be honest. So several of you, the rest of you are not really being honest with me, but I love change. I think change is great. I think change is good because that's the way God designed the universe and the world we live in. He designed us to change. We're always changing and evolving into the person that he's created us to be. But it's so funny how we resist it, how sometimes change causes fear, can cause some anxiety. I know that I've seen high schoolers, they graduate and they start thinking about college. And then they start freaking out. Oh, my God, what am I going to study? What am I going to major in? Am I ever going to get married? Am I going to have kids one day? What's my life going to look like 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years down the road? We start having those kind of panic attacks. And I think that those things happen. We start to get a little apprehensive about our growth or our graduating to the next step when we're unsure of a few key things in our life. But let me tell you what happened. When Jesus was, after Jesus died and buried and resurrected, he came back and he started hanging out with his disciples. And one day while he was eating with them, imagine the dead man coming to dinner, right? Could you eat outside? Could you? Anyway, he was alive. He wasn't dead anymore, right? And he's hanging out with his disciples and he's teaching them about the next steps, about graduating. They have been following him for 3 years. And here he gives the greatest mandate in all of the Bible. We know it as the Great Commission. So if you want to turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 28, here's, we're going to read verses 19 and 20. And I'm going to talk to you a few minutes this morning about taking the next steps. Matthew 28, verse 19. This is what Jesus said. Therefore, always remember, anytime you see the word therefore, you have to ask yourself, what's this? There you go. So what's this therefore is that in the sentence, in the verse just before 19, he said, hey, by the way, let me remind you, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now he's setting you. All right, you ready? Here he goes. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. The calling to go and make disciples is a calling for every one of us, no matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're the kindergartner graduating, the eighth grader, or the high schooler, or the college person, or the person who's been now following Jesus for some time, but you've been following, but you've not yet gone. You've not yet taken the next step. You see, when we read Matthew 20, and we read the Great Commission, we see nothing in the Great Commission about age or gender or race or qualification. All we see is a command to the believer, a command to the follower of Jesus to go. What if each one of us, you know, knowing that we follow Jesus and we are walking along and we're always going to the next steps in life, and these people who are graduating from high school or college are going to go off and find their way, so to speak, and they're going to find their vocation and their job or whatever it is they're going to do for the rest of their career path. What if we as Christians decided that the ultimate vocation and destiny for our lives was just to do what Jesus said, to go and make disciples? Because that is the calling for every human being that decides to follow Jesus, to go and make disciples. There is no other calling. Now, how that calling sets up in your life will look different. Some of us, he calls into full-time vocational ministry. Some of us, he says, hey, whatever life it is that you've built in whatever business or whatever job that you have, I still want you to go and do this calling, but you're just going to do it in a different context. You with me? What does God want us to know about our calling to the next step? Well, here's the first thing that Jesus tells us in Matthew 28, 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I want you to know how important that is to you and I, the believer, to the follower of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given. What Jesus is telling his disciples and what he's telling us here this morning is that, listen, under the complete authority of God Almighty, am I calling you to go? Under his direction, under his guidance, under him telling you, you have complete authority. Listen, I want you to understand something. You have an enemy. We know him as the devil. We know him as Satan. We can call him whatever you want. He's irrelevant. You know why he's irrelevant? Because you have authority over him. Now quit allowing him to have authority over you. You know how many times as a pastor I have heard people say, oh, the devil's just beating me up. I'm like, why you let him? Well, what you mean? He's just causing havoc in my life. He's around every corner. He's beating me up. He's always just trying to stop me in my path. Really? Why you let him? Because you have been given complete authority over every spirit in this world. You have the authority of Jesus Christ. Do you know that doing the work of God on the earth is a calling that requires God's stamp of approval? You can't do the work of God without the God of the work being behind you. You hear what I said? You can't do the work of God without the God of the work being behind you. And God said, go, and you're going in my authority. See, Jesus knew the enemy would oppose you. So he says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my authority. So when the enemy opposes you, when the enemy tries to stop you in your tracks, you don't quit. You don't give up. Because so often we just want to throw in the towel. I just can't take the resistance. I just can't take the opposition. I guess this is maybe not the path I'm supposed to walk down. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're facing some opposition, you're probably on the right path. Amen. Yes. Wow, I could have had a V8. Listen, when you go for Jesus, you go with his complete authority. The second thing I want you to know about our calling to the next step is that you're empowered with his spirit. So not only do you have his authority, but now you have his spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus is still here. He hasn't yet ascended, right? This is what he said. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses. You'll be my, the word in the Greek is where we get the word martyr from. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. In other words, I'm not only going to send you out with my authority, I'm going to send you out with my spirit. The thing that raised me from the dead is in you, and you, there's nothing can oppose you. Nothing can stand in your way. You know what I love about Jesus saying, look, I'm going to give you a little piece of me. He didn't just give you a piece. He didn't say, here's a finger, here's a toenail. He gave you the best piece. His supernatural, powerful spirit to reside in you. Look what he said in that same conversation just before he tells them the Holy Spirit will come on you and you'll receive power. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, listen to what he said. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now listen, the word baptized means, it's the Greek word baptizo. This is what it means, to be completely immersed in something. To be completely covered with and by that thing. In other words, he didn't say, I'm going to slap a little Holy Spirit on you. I'm going to give you a little taste. He said, no, I'm going to engulf you. It's going to, all when people see you, what they're going to see is the Holy Spirit emanating from you. You've been covered completely with his spirit. There's nothing that can stand in your way. The third thing I want you to know about God's calling to go, to take the next steps is, do you know that every encounter that you have is a God encounter when you're following Jesus? Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You know that no encounter is a waste of time or an accident. How many of you believe in coincidences? What a coincidence. You happen to be here today. Listen, I don't ever want you as a believer to say the word coincidence. Someone once told me many, many years ago, coincidences are just God's way of staying anonymous, which is a dumb statement because God is not anonymous. And God doesn't need to be remain anonymous. Listen, you ever wonder why you went to that gas station and you happen to run into that person you haven't seen in all those years? What a coincidence. I saw. No, God said, I put you there for a reason. Why'd you get in that line at the grocery store? And you were able to talk to that person in line. Why did you have that cashier who needed to hear what it is that you had to say that day? It's not a coincidence. This is God saying, I put you there for a reason. The Bible says that God orders the steps of righteous people. He orders our steps. Every encounter is a God encounter. Here's the purpose. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Listen to what it says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Paul said. Listen to what he says. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Listen to me, folks. You bring good news everywhere you go because you're full of good news. I mean, some people might have said you were full of something else, but I'm telling you, you're full of good news. Every time you tell someone about Jesus, what he's done in your life, you're either planting seeds or watering seeds. You know, it's God's business to woo them and to win them. How many of you have you left an encounter, you felt like God put you there, you left the encounter and you felt like nothing really got accomplished? You know how many times that's happened to me? People say they want to see me, they want me to counsel them or whatever, and I counsel them and I feel like, man, I really didn't do anything. I fell flat, like, and God's like, no, you did your part. This is part. You know that they say the average person needs to hear the good news 7.5 times before they'll respond. You might have been number 7, or you might have been number 1, or number 3, or number 5. And if somebody's already planted the seed, all you're doing is just watering. Give it a little kiss. You're good. God encounters. Number 4 thing you need to know is that, you know, your next step is an opportunity for you to respond in faith. Nothing pleases God more than you responding in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Let me ask you. Anybody in here say, I just want to please God. I want God to be pleased with my life. You know, when God calls us to go, I want you to understand something. He's not looking for the qualified people to send. Because I know we do look in the mirror, we go, wrong guy. I want you to understand something. If it was about qualifications, I would be the least qualified human being on the planet to be a pastor. Let me just get real with you for a minute. You know how many times in seminary, when I finally went to seminary in my 30s, that I felt so insecure about who I was because my daddy wasn't a preacher. I didn't grow up in church. These kids I sat around in seminary, I've been in church my whole life. I was in church 9 months before I was born. You know, you understand that, right? Anyway, I wasn't one of those guys. You know, and I found out later on that some of those guys envied me. And I was like, man, I'm not qualified by anything in the natural, but I want you to know in the supernatural, I'm more than qualified. In the supernatural, you're more than qualified. God doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies the called. God loves when we respond to him in faith. Here's my question. Will you respond today in faith to the next step of your life? And here's the last piece of the puzzle this morning that I want to share with you. He'll be with you, here it is, every step of the way. That's what he said in Matthew 28:20. After he gives them the instruction to go, to take the next steps, this is what he says, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Here it is, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Even to the farthest stretches of the universe, I'll be there with you. You're not doing this alone ever. No matter where you go, you're going for him. And he's with us no matter where it is. How many of you maybe just a little apprehensive about, that's a big step. To go and be God's mouthpiece on the earth, to go and be not just a follower, but a follower telling people about Jesus. How many of you are like, I don't know, you know, I'm not really ready. Can you imagine just knowing that you're gonna go for Jesus and he's gonna be with you? It just kind of changes the playing field. It's like, yeah, anybody have a big brother? Anybody in here have a big brother? I don't know, you ever had somebody like picking on you? I have a little sister. I was the oldest. I had a little sister. In high school, we had this kid who was picking on my little sister. He didn't know I was a big brother. So when I encountered this gentleman in the hallway, and I began to explain to him that picking on my little sister was not the best intention, that wasn't the best idea, that he should pick someone else to pick on, because the consequences could be severe. That's what it's like when Jesus goes with you. Is everybody that tries to get in your way to go, big brother right here. And big brother says, you picked on the wrong guy. Let me give you 5 quick reasons why people are a little apprehensive to take the next step. The first one is this, is that, you know, that Christians, many times we isolate ourselves from the non-Christian world. We get saved, and we start excluding all the sinner friends. Well, we don't want them around. They're bad influence. If you know bad company corrupts good character, keep them away. But you know what? And I get that. There's some of your friends you probably need to keep away. But you know what? There's some of your friends that just need to hear what Jesus has done in your life, and they need to know what has happened in you and to you. The second thing is that, you know, sometimes the mindset of Christians is that evangelism is for the pastors or the ministers. Let me ask you a question. Point to the minister in the room. Good. Nobody pointed up here. Amen. You're the minister in the room. One of our core values at New Beginnings is that every member is a minister. God has called, listen, everyone, I wish I had mirrors. I'd hold up your mirror. Every one of you is called to do what I do, just on a different scale. Yours is more one-on-one. Mine's in big groups. Believe me, it's easier to do it in big groups. Anybody want to preach next week? You know, the mindset is always that, well, that's somebody else's job. But I want you to know it's not somebody else's job to tell the people next to you, your relatives, your neighbors, your friends about Jesus. You're the one. You're in their circles for a reason, and God has appointed you and called you to take the next steps with him, and he's waiting for you to go. Third reason that we don't share or we don't take the next steps is that, you know, most of us Christians are not willing to talk about the cost of following. How much does it cost to follow Jesus? What does it cost? You know what it costs? It costs everything. God doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. He doesn't just want, hey, you can have this part of my life, but leave this one alone. He wants all of you. And he wants you to give all of yourself to him because he's got this incredible calling. It's this incredible path and destiny for your life, and you'll never get there trying to be the boss. See, we're called to be, here it is, followers of Jesus. I don't read any, I've read the scriptures cover to cover more times than I can count. I want you to know nowhere in the Bible does it say God will follow you. Thank God, right? I'm glad God ain't following you. He calls us to, he said, come, follow me. And that's what he's looking for, people who will follow. You know that, and listen, you can't be in charge too. Because some of you, well, can I be in charge also? Can I co-lead with you, God? You know that two-headed things are an anomaly. They don't live long. They don't last. You know why? Because somebody got to be in charge and somebody has to be the subservient one. I'll be subservient every time to Jesus, right? Because I know that when I follow him, he takes me where I need to go. Number four, so often in our society, we expect immediate results. Well, I shared with those people and nothing happened because it wasn't time. You shared with those people, you did your part, and now leave the rest to God. We live in this microwave society. We pop something in, 2 minutes later, it's done. We have gotten spoiled, right? I come in, flick the air conditions on. They didn't work. I'm upset. What's wrong with the dang air conditioning, you know? Spoiled. You know, it's up to God to bring the increase. We only need to plant and water, plant and water. That's your job. Are you a planter or a water? Both. I'll plant when I need to plant. I'll water when I need to water. Other than that, if I happen to get lucky when somebody decides to accept Jesus and I happen to be there for the prayer, bonus, right? And number five, you know that so often as Christians today, we aren't clear on the message of the gospel. We just aren't clear. Most Christians cannot defend what they believe and why they believe it. Most other religions in this world can. That's why when those people knock on your door, you're like, don't answer the door. I answer the door. Hey, can I help you? Yeah, we want to share some. I'll share some with you. They don't like that. They're like, okay, we'll come back another day. Here's what you need to know. You want to know what to share with somebody? Well, let me tell you who I was. Let me tell you how I met Jesus. Let me tell you what's happened in my life since. You decide if it's real or not. It's not up to me to convince you that it's real or it's not real. It's up to me to just tell you, This is who I was, this is what happened, and this is who I am. You figure it out, right? Would you stand with me? Today I'm talking to people, I hope I'm talking to people that are willing to say, I'm ready to take the next step. You know, Jesus' followers, the disciples that he was talking to about the Great Commission, they've been walking with him for 3 years. It was pretty comfortable. They didn't have to do much. Feed a few people when they needed to feed them. You know, carry Jesus' stuff. You know, row the boat to the other shore, walk a lot, whatever. But, you know, Jesus did all the work. He was doing all the ministry. And now he was saying, hey, I'm going back to the Father, and I'm leaving you these instructions. It's all up to you now. Listen to me. Jesus is in the room this morning, and he's telling you, it's up to you now, that this world out there can't hear unless someone goes and tells them. The question, will you go and tell them? How many of you, just by a show of hands, how many of you know somebody in your circles of influence, friends, family, or otherwise, that you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Anybody? I see a lot of y'all. If you're willing to pray this prayer, here's the prayer. God, give me an opportunity to share you with them. If you're willing to pray that prayer, now listen, don't pray it if you ain't ready. Because when you pray it, the opportunity will be happening this week. If you're ready to pray that prayer, I want you to come and join me here. And I'm going to pray an empowerment over you that you can go out and share him with those in your family and friends who don't know him. A harvest is about to happen, all because you decided that you were willing to share it. Listen, you know, revival can't happen unless somebody goes and tells somebody else about Jesus. I see revival happening. If half of y'all tell somebody about Jesus, this community could change half. But I have a feeling we have some more eager people than half. If you're ready, just raise your hands. Here I am, God. I'm ready. I'm ready. God, you know, you know every person in the realm of influence in this room. You know every person that needs to hear about you. And my prayer right now, God, is that you empower and anoint the words of the people at this altar this morning for the work of the ministry of making disciples, as you told us. Making disciples. God, how do you make a disciple? Here's how you do it. Share Jesus with those who don't know him. Now, God, here we are, empowered, fully authorized by you to go and do what you've called us to do, and we're ready. Now, fill us with your Spirit. Go before us. Make every encounter a God encounter, and let us know that we're doing what you've called us to do. And, God, I pray, let us see the results in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you next week.